back. He's been playing hooky too long, and we're glad he's back. And so we're going to be going to get some singing. So I think we're on hymn number 344. I Must Tell Jesus. So let's do the first, second, and last verses as we stand, and Brother Buddy leads us in 344.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make all my troubles quickly at ease. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Well, you know, there isn't anybody else to help you but Jesus. Don't go to Him, you're going to have some problems. I'm glad we can come to Him. Let's go to Him this morning. Let's have some prayer requests. I want to say we appreciate last night, Brother and Sister Barbara opening their home to us last night. We had a good cottage prayer meeting last night, and we didn't do anything but just take prayer requests and pray. And if you're interested, when we get things set up, we'll let you know. Brother Julius and Brother Bill are going to be putting our prayer list on the computer. It's not something that's going to be open to anybody outside of our church. It's only going to be for our people. But if you'd like to get a copy of that, and we had probably about 3 pages last night that when it was said and done, and probably still more we could have put on. But we want to pray for these needs, pray for salvation decisions, and pray for Christians who have different situations that they have concerns about, people who are sick and afflicted, and then we have people who have spiritual needs that we need to pray about. So we appreciate the folks that turned out last night, was able to come. We had just, like I say, a wonderful, wonderful cottage prayer meeting. So I appreciate that. So let's remember the needs that were lifted up there, the needs that were lifted up earlier this morning prior to Sunday school. Let's pray for revival. Pray for revival. We just don't want to have a meeting. We want to have revival. And so pray that we might have that. God would meet with us. We might have the breath of heaven. Pray for our evangelist, Brother Haywood Alcorn, that God will bless him and give him the messages that we need. Not what we want, but what we need. So let's pray about that. All right, anybody in the congregation, prayer requests? Anybody? Let's continue to pray for Miss Faye. You have having surgery on your knee on the 2nd of October. So let's pray for that. Okay. You've got a busy week. All right, let's pray about all of that. Okay. Anybody else out in the congregation? Anybody else in the congregation? Choir? Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Stamps. Okay. All right, let's pray about that. Anybody in the choir? Have an unspoken request, let it be known by a raised hand. The Lord knows all about them. Thank God he does. All right, Brother Bill, you pray for us. Be seated. Pray for the choir.
Choir in Great Hymns of Faith. Page number 326. More About Jesus. Number 326.
More of his grace to others show.
Vocabulary word nor dictionary printed that can talk about the love of Jesus and do it justice. And I sure thank the Lord for it. Amen. All right, let's take our red books, turn to 408, one of my favorites. This is our fellowship song, Loyalty to Christ. We'll sing the first and second, go around, shake hands, and then come back on the last as we stand and sing Loyalty to Christ.
From over hills and plain, there comes a circle strain. There's loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. As I'm the crucible, along the hills of sun. My loyalty, loyalty, there's loyalty to Christ. great commander, oh. Now against the man, we'll soon possess the man. There's loyalty, loyalty, there's loyalty. There's loyalty, loyalty, there's loyalty to Christ. The Christ of God revealed, we have the life of truth. There's loyalty, loyalty, there's loyalty to Christ. On to victory, on to victory, Christ the great commander, on. He'll move in his command, he'll soon possess his man. Loyalty to Christ.
All right, greet some folks in the Lord today.
Hey, Brother Dan. Hey, Brother Dan. Good to have you. Son, I love you. I should have missed you. Hey, sweetheart, I love you. I should have missed you.
In there and give it a tingle? Is that what you do? A
couple more weeks, I'll have enough for a hamburger.
See, you go to these restrooms and they'll have these big sniffers, I think they call them, you know, and people put dollar bills. So now we're going to be putting tips in here for Mr. Reese. And then you got to give it a ding when you get put it in, you know.
Now, Brother Sam, I can't get a hamburger on Kenny.
All right, good job. Thank you so much. All right, well, let's get ready to do some work with pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollar bills. And let's have our jug offering. And we appreciate you being willing to give and to share. And it's really been a real blessing. It really has. To have these offerings, and we appreciate our young people helping us, and it's always exciting to see them on the move. Okay? All right, give you just a minute to go ahead and get all that ready to go. Job. And all right, let's pray for Sister Teresa. She sings for us.
In a little town called Bethlehem, so many years ago, they told him there was no room in the inn. But they had no way of knowing who they had turned away. He's the Lamb of God who could take away their sins. And I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And I'm glad I know who is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. And I'm glad I know who Jesus is. So many people still today don't know who Jesus is, and they've never felt his peace within their souls. But I want my life to show them how his love can set them free. He's the only one who can cleanse and make men whole. just a story. He is the King of glory, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Counselor and Deliverer to me. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the King of glory, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the King of glory, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. Glad we know who Jesus is. All right. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Got a lot of scripture to deal with today. I need you to bear with me. Follow along in your Bibles. Think about some things today maybe you've never thought about before. While you're turning there, let me share some announcements. Usually I do announcements at the end of the service. Let me do some announcements first. Revival meeting starts Wednesday night. Now we're going to do, I had brought this up, but we're going to do this. We're going to have every night, we're going to do pew packing. And we're going to have something every night for the person that brings the most visitors. Now, Miss Teresa and Brother Buddy donated a new copy, unused copy of God's Desert Rose. If you're interested in a music CD, then that's good. And also, we have a couple of books. One of them I didn't bring. The other one I do have. This is an autobiography of Herbert E. Grings, his testimony and missionary service in the Belgian Congo. This was written, I think, by Herbert Grings, but the revisions are made by our missionaries, Louise and Daryl Champlin. They're our missionaries for many years in the Congo area. And so one night you may want this, and then there's another book that I'll be bringing and sharing that with you. So each night, whoever brings the most visitors have a choice of one of three different things. I'll be honest, I thought about bringing a Bible and do the traditional pew packing for a Bible, but really most people just don't need another Bible. So I thought I would try to put some more materials in your hands. So we've got a music CD if you'd like that one night. And we'll have a couple of good books. I'm just a big believer in books. I hope that if you don't, I hope you'll go over to that book table and make yourself available. I'm just a firm believer Christians ought to read. I really believe that. And that's one thing we don't do enough of. Also, down on the front pew are new Swords of the Lord. So if you need to get some Swords of the Lord, get those also if you'd like to get that. And always work on building your library. That's a good thing to do. Revival services, 7 o'clock nightly. Some more flyers down at the bottom if you want to do that. Pew packing every night. Next Sunday, homecoming. Okay? Now, what we've been doing the last few years, we haven't been having Sunday school. We've just been coming for 11 o'clock. That, I think, is just a good thing because there's so much to do, especially with ladies having to cook. I've seen through the years, usually ladies, half the time in churches, ladies miss Sunday school anyway because they got to get the cooking done. So we're going to start at 11 o'clock. And we'll have our dinner on the grounds and all that good stuff. And Mrs. Penny Andrews from the Gethsemane Quartet will be singing for us. I'll be preaching. I'm going to do a chalk talk next Sunday. And so we'll be doing that in the morning service. And then have our dinner on the grounds. And then we'll have an afternoon service from about 2 to 2:30. We won't have any preaching, but Sister Andrews will be singing for us from around 2 to 2:30. Okay, so that'll be our homecoming for the day, okay? If people bring visitors on Sunday morning, most definitely we'll give the picture away to whoever brings visitors Sunday morning, absolutely. Okay? All right, and let's see. At the end of the service, I'll check and we'll see if we've got anything. Usually I forget something, so... But right now, I'm thinking of that all that stuff right now. So we'll keep that in mind, and let's pray for a good week, a good day on homecoming, okay? Nothing on Saturday, no revival services or anything Saturday, just revival services Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with Dr. Haywood Alcorn, okay? All right, Genesis chapter 22. Last week I talked about the story of Abraham and Isaac, and I will not go into that again, but the sacrifice and how God required complete obedience. We said that he was approximately at this time 130 to 133 years of age, Abraham was, and then Isaac is approximately 30 to 33 also, it is believed. We're going to look at some things in chapter 22 and chapter 23. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to read probably more scriptures than I normally would on a Sunday morning, but I need to get the idea of what we're going to talk about. But let's see what happened after or following the story of the obedience to God's will concerning the sacrifice of Isaac. Let's look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. I love that phrase because that reminds me of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's really the truth. I mean, yes, you know, Ishmael was his son, but it wasn't the son of promise. This is the only son of promise there is. Okay, we have to keep that in mind. All right? That verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now that's just one portion we're reading. Let's look at it before we move on to the next portion. Here the Lord comes and says to Abraham. Now I know. And not only does he know, and he did know anyway, God did know. See, there are some things when you read God's communication with man that sounds like God doesn't know what's going on. God knows what's going on all the time. God has to bring the communication level down to my poor little peon brain. You know that? I mean, I'm not even close to anything that God is. You're not either. But I tell you, God has to... That's like if you're talking to children. You can't talk to children and explain the theory of relativity in physics. Because all they're going to do is go, huh? You know, they're going to look at you like that. Their brain isn't fully capable of taking in that type of stuff. But God can't tell me a lot of things because my poor old brain would explode if he were to tell me and load my brain down with the kind of knowledge that he has. So that's, but when he says, I know, now I know, he knew. But now here's a revelation that is hitting Abraham in the face. Abraham said, I have implicitly obeyed God. I've obeyed God thoroughly. And what a comfort that must be, because God honored that and praised the work that he had done. Then in verse 7, he said that in blessing I will bless thee. Now wait a minute. Remember what Abraham means. Abraham means father of a multitude. He's only got one, let's use the word legitimate son here. Okay? One legitimate son. He's got Ishmael, but we don't necessarily count Ishmael as being the legitimate promise or seed. So it says, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Now, do you think that Abraham probably had problems with this statement? This statement is, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. Now, if tonight you go and look outside your house and look up at the stars in the heavens, Can you count them? Nope. That tells you something. If that's not enough, then he goes on and says this, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Can you go to the coast? Can you go to Myrtle Beach or Virginia Beach or someplace like that? And can you go and can you put your hand and scoop up sand and can you count every single solitary grain of sand? You know the answer to that. So what's going on here? What's the Lord saying? The Lord says that there is going to be a multiplying. When God does math, He knows how to do math. And multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. Who is his seed? Isaac. From Isaac's loins come Jacob. From Jacob's loins comes the 12 tribes of Israel. From the 12 tribes of Israel, you know the tradition and the way it goes. Is there a way to count Jews in the world today? There are American Jews. There are Polish Jews. There are Russian Jews. There are probably Jews in nearly every country. Can you count them? No. It's impossible. God said it would be impossible. Okay? In blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, I think it's interesting as I study and look at politics and world events. I think it's interesting that that little country over there named Israel is still around. They shouldn't be. Nations for years and years have tried to destroy them. God's had his hand on them. They're never going to be destroyed. They're never going to die because they are the apple of God's eye. They are his people. And as someone asked a great Bible teacher one time, they said to him, can you give us in one word a word that proves the authenticity of the Bible? And he looked at him without batting an eye and said, Israel. And he's right. He's right. Israel is a significant thing in history. And that the fact that Israel is still around proves the blessing of God. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, verse 18, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I pray for America. I pray for the next few weeks. I pray that God will have mercy on us. I pray that God will bring us back to the great nation we used to be. I know that we're a great nation. I know we are. We are economically, judicially, in every way we're a great nation. But I'm going to tell you, we're not as great as we used to be. When you get to the place that you have to persecute Christians instead of lifting up Christians like our forefathers did prior to us, and the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of the Judeo-Christian ethic, and where we are today, we have to battle for it. This is not a great nation. Our nation needs to repent. We need to go to sackcloth and ashes as the Israelites did. And we need to repent. And we need to tell God, we're sorry. We're sorry we've kicked you out of our schools. We're sorry we've kicked you out of our government houses like those that are trying to kick the Ten Commandments out of Giles County. We're sorry about that. Lord, we're sorry. Did you hear about this? I heard recently, I did not know this, I just heard this by somebody, but the University of Tennessee, they have prayer before their football games. They were approached and told by the ACLU or some group that they were not allowed to pray before their football games. You know what the University of Tennessee said? Tough. They're still praying in their football games. Amen. You know what we've done? We've taken a mamby-pamby, pacifist position, and we're letting these people tell us what to do. We need to stand up and say, no, no. You might be the government, but you don't have any right to run all over us. And if we want to pray in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody needs to just, we need to quit taking it, and we need to do something about it. He said, I will bless them. As long as we bless the name of the Lord. I mean, again, I'll bring it up again. Isn't it a terrible thing that a political party would boo God and boo Israel? That is a sin. That is a travesty. That is evil. And yet our nation wants to pander to that, and you and I who are Christians are maligned and abused for being what we are. It shouldn't be that way. Verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now what I want to think about this morning is this. When you come to the end of life's journey, what should you try to attain? I want you to think about this. When the day comes that you pass on, what should you have worked for? Abraham, old man, right now, 130 plus. And the Lord looks at him and says this. He said, you have basically lived your life for a blessing. For a blessing. I don't know about you. I don't think it's a selfish prayer. But I think God's people ought to seek the blessing of God. Because what's the alternative to the blessing of God? A curse. Or, at the very least, nothing. I want to be blessed. I want the blessing of God upon my life. I want the blessing of God upon my family. I want to do the things that I'm supposed to do because God has said that it is right to do so, and He will bless us. Because He said here, He said, because you have done the thing that you're supposed to do, you have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless thee. And I know that's speaking of Israel, but I know also that the farther I go in my life, I don't want the curse of God on my life. I want the blessing of God. I want to be able to stand before the good Lord one day, and I would love to hear Him say, and I don't know if I will, but I'd love to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like to have that happen. I don't know if it will. I hope it will. I look at my life, and the problem, one of the problems that I think has always been true about human nature is that the thing about human nature is that human nature is very self-willed. Human nature is everything is about me. Okay? Now let me tell you something. If you hear, for instance, let's say I'm going to use the word Christian songs. They may not necessarily be Christian songs. But there are some songs that are coming out today where the emphasis is not on Christ. The emphasis is about me. Now one thing I love about the old hymns. I love the hymns that talk about loyalty to me. Loyalty to Christ. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm not for these songs that even though they say they're Christian songs, if you listen to their lyrics and their melodies, they're actually exalting self. I want to do that which honors the Lord because I do want to be blessed. I do not want the curse of God on me. I want to be able to say that as I look back at my life before I die, that I have tried to honor God. Can you imagine this old man right here? And look, can I use this terminology and it not sound wrong? But it's like God is proud of it. Can I say that? You understand where I'm going with that? He said, now I know that you have not withheld your son, your only son. And in blessing I will bless thee. I want to be blessed. I want the blessing of God. I want to live my life to honor Him. I don't want to live my life so that people can look at me and say, wow, that wasn't much, was it? I know I'm probably wrong to say this, but sometimes I go down the road And I see, you know, I told my wife the other day, we left and we have some neighbors and good people. They're good people. But their lives basically are two things and two things only. They work to their jobs and they work on their house. They have nothing else. They don't do anything else. There's got to be more to life than going to work and working in your yard. That's all there is about life. We have been shortchanged seriously. I want my life to count in such a way that what I do, God would look upon it and smile and be pleased and would bless me for trying to do the things that honor Him. I mean, if that's all you're going to do, I'm going to work, I get home, I got to mow my yard, I got to do trim work, I got to blast the house and with a pressure washer, I've got to clean windows, I've got to vacuum up. If that's, and then you do the next week and the next week, and that's all there is to life, and the most relaxation you get is sitting in a rocking chair out on your porch. If that's all there is to life, somebody's been shortchanged. Well, what else can you do when you're 130 years of age? You can read that Bible and pray. You say, well, I used to be able to go out and evangelize, and I used to be able to go out and win souls, and I used to be able to pass out tracts, and I used to be, but physically I'm not able. That is not an excuse. There's still plenty to do in the kingdom. More and more I am convinced that we have a need for people who are warriors in prayer. To pray effectively, to pray for people. I've shared with you before the story of a lady that we knew in Chattanooga, Tennessee, by the name of Missouri Sorrow. She recently passed away and she was in, I guess, her 80s. Got up 4 o'clock in the morning, I think, 4:30, something like that, and spent a couple hours in prayer, would go back to bed and rest. She was in her 80s. But she would pray, and she would hold people before the Lord. Last night, we got together in the cottage prayer meeting at the barber's home, and we developed a prayer list. And as we say, we'll make that prayer list available to you. And the exciting thing about a prayer list is when God answers a prayer. I think we need to take it, and we need to not necessarily cross it out yet, but put a date beside it and say this is when it, and when you see the date, you know it got answered. That nothing to me is any more exciting than seeing God answer prayer. I think that's fantastic. I think that's awesome. I want to be blessed. And here's an old man, emphasis, old man. He's run his life 130 plus years, and God looks at him. God says you're blessed. You cannot be any more blessed than when God says you're blessed. Now let's look on. Look at verse 20. Let's read to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother. Can you imagine even Huz and Buz? Huz and Buz. And Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Kezid, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Didlap, and Bethuel, and Bethuel begat Rebekah. These 8 Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Rumah, and she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Tahash, and Maacah. Now, again, notice that if this man, Abraham's 130 plus, how old do you reckon that brother is? I'm sure if we did some research, we could figure it out. I haven't done the research, but I got a feeling he ain't no spring chicken. And God's blessed him. And look at the children that he had. Do you remember a name here? Do you see a name that's familiar out of all of these? Verse 23 is the story of somebody named Rebecca. Well, you'll come across that later on in the book of Genesis, won't you? Now, births, but you know what I find? That in the record of births, there's also a record of what? Death. Look at the next chapter. And Sarah was 107 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Now, wait a minute. How many years is there difference between her and Sarah? Remember? Her and Abraham. Remember? 10 years. So if she dies at 127, how old is he at the time of her death? He's 137. Now we know that because she gave birth to Isaac at 90. He was 100. Then if you do the math, what's the math? Somebody help me with the math. What's the difference between if you take 127 and you subtract, what would you, 90? What you going to have? Anybody know? About 40? Somewhere in that ballpark figure. Remember what I said last week? When we think about Isaac being a little teenager, he was not a teenager. This proves he was in his 30s. How old was Jesus when he died on the cross? Approximately 33 to 33 and a half years of age. Wow, this Bible must be written by God. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. You know, that's touching. Sarah's original name, Sarai, meant contentious. So you must figure that in 127 years of her life, and however many years they were married, she must give him a fit. Can I say something? And I will. You know, there isn't anything in the world any more wonderful than a godly, praying, spiritual woman. Can I say this? There isn't anything any worse than a carnal, wicked woman that does not obey God. You'll find that all through the Bible, time and time and time again. A mother can shape a home or destroy a home. If she's a godly woman, she'll bless a home. The Bible talks about blessed is that woman. If you want to see a biography of a great woman in the Bible, study the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, and you'll see a great and godly woman. So I'm sure there were times where Sarah was very carnal and very contentious, but I have no doubt there were times where she was sweet and wonderful and kind and spiritual and godly, because the Bible says that he wept for her. Isn't that part of life? Isn't it hard? Someone said that part of life is death. Does that make it easy? Never. Never. But it is there. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Verse 3, and Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, our Lord, or my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. Now, in the previous chapter, I shared this thought with you, that we need to live at the end of our life and look for a blessing. Well, another thing we should do when we come to the end of our life is to be able to have a good name. Because notice this, Abraham looks at the sons of Heth and he says, I'm a stranger in your land. I don't know the place. My wife has died. There's no family cemetery. There's no cemetery plots. I must bury my wife, and I would need a sepulcher, a burying place for you. And verse 6, here they responded thusly, Hear us, our Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. One of these days, every one of us is going to, if the Lord does not return first, every one of us are going to have our bodies laid in a coffin. And there's going to be people that's going to walk by that coffin. And when they do, they're going to say something. I I know traditionally, and you know too what most people say, this isn't what I'm getting at, but most people say things like, don't he look good? You ever notice that? And I guess it's just the gift of an embalmer, because some funeral homes do a very good job of embalming, some don't. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when people come by and walk by that funeral home, what kind of name did you leave? See, he wanted to live and he wanted to close his life out having the blessing of God on him. We saw that in the last chapter. But in this chapter, they look at him and say, you are a mighty prince. You have anything you want because your name is highly respected. What do you think of when I give you two names and I want you to think about what would be your, what's your reaction the second I say these two names? Name number one, Dr. Adrian Rogers. I've always said Dr. Rogers died too soon. There wasn't, bar none, whether they be Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Buzzard Baptist, it don't matter. There was no preacher could top that man when it came to preaching. What a man of God. Let me give you a second name and think about this one. Some of you may not know this name, but most of you do. Madeline Murray O'Hare. Now, think about this. What came to your mind the first thing when I brought those two names up? There was a name, wasn't there? There was a reputation, a name, if you will. I'll say that. There's a name. When you think of those names, you automatically associate with one person being godly and spiritual and loving God, and the other being an enemy of the things of God. And they looked at him and they said, you're a prince. You're a mighty prince. Just think about something, just for your thought, just for your thinking. When they walk by your coffin, what are they going to say about you? There's some people, no doubt in the world, they walk by coffins and they've said under their breath, that's the biggest crook in this county. And there are some people that walked by that coffin and they've looked and they've said, man, what a fantastic, awesome Christian. Was a man who lost his wife. He was at the funeral home. About everybody had gone through the line and people were talking as it usually they do at a funeral home like that, what we call a wake. And he was sitting on the front pew and his wife's coffin was here. He didn't feel like talking to anybody. And there was a man that came up and sat beside him and just got to running his mouth and talking about, oh, you'll get over this and just all this junk. And there's something, let me just add to that. Be careful when you talk to people about anything. Be careful what you say when you say, I understand. Because if you haven't been there, you don't understand. And this man's running his mouth like people do, and the man was sitting there beside him. He said to himself, he said, I wish you'd go away. I wish you'd go away. I wish you'd go away. And finally he did. He had said his piece and run his mouth and he got up and he left. And another man came in, stood by, looked at the wife, and then he sat down beside the man, never said a word, never said the first thing. He just sat beside him. And he bowed his head and he held his hands down his lap and he just went. Finally just got up and he touched the man on the shoulder and patted him and he walked away and the man said, I wish he wouldn't leave. I wish he wouldn't leave. You know, when people are hurting and people are grieving, we need to be there for them. We need to love them. We need to comfort them. We need to support them. But we don't need to put on a show. I've heard stories, now you've probably seen it, I've not seen it, but I've heard stories, where people will put on a production, and I hope you don't think I'm being critical, where people have actually tried to climb in the coffin. That's a little out of the way. They looked at this man, Abraham, and they said, "You're a mighty prince. You can have anything you want because of who you are and what your name is." So here's Abraham, and the first thing we saw was he was a man who lived to be blessed, and he was. Here's a man who lived to have a good name, and he did. Let's finish. And Abraham, verse 7, stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth, and he communed with them, saying, "If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of the field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you." And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of the city, saying, "Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of the people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead." And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, "But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there." And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, "My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead." And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in the gate of this city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And in the field and the cave that is therein, he made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Now, if you look at this, it's a little funny, because he said, "All right, you've given me the option. I can have anything I want according to your word. So I want this particular burying site." And obviously, very nice place. And he said, "That's what I want." So they bring up the fellow that owns it. And he comes up, and Ephron is his name. And he says, "This is what I want. Tell me how much money it is." And he said, "I will give it to you." Well, he said, "I'm sorry, I will pay you for it." So Ephron speaks up, Oh no, I would not think of it. This is where it's funny. Because he says, "No, I wouldn't think that. No, I will give it to you. But if you want to know what the value of it is, I'll tell you." That sounds like a flea market, doesn't it? Some bartering going on. Because he tells him, he said, Ephron proceeds to say, "My land," verse 15, "is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that betwixt me and thee?" That doesn't mean anything. By the way, it just happened to be 400 shekels. But that's okay. you ever met people like that? I mean, they're going to give it to you, but then they turn around and they're going to drop a price. You know what they mean? They mean, "Well, I'm going to give it to you, but in case you want to know, in case you do want to pay me, and I'm not going to be rude about it, but if you give me the money, I'll take it." Guess what? That's what happened. Now, look at the response of Abraham. Abraham did not say, "You scoundrel. You told me one thing and now you're reneging. What's the matter with you?
If you had any integrity about yourself, you'd just go ahead and let me have it like these other fellas said you were. But now, since you're not going to do that, since you're going to throw up money, I'm walking out on you, bud. Nope. Know what it is? Like the money. You know why? Because here's the third thing about him. He was a man who lived to be blessed by God. He was a man who lived to have a good name. And here was a man that lived to have a good reputation. You know what obviously he did? He paid that bill, didn't he? I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't remember who it was. But somebody said that they were working a job, and they did a particular kind of work. I don't remember what it was. And he said, you know what? He said, I used to have preachers come into my business, and he said, that automatically ask for a discount. And he said, do you know what I did when they asked me for a discount? He said, I didn't give it to them. He said, because I felt like that was an awful lot of nerve to come in and ask me point blank to give them a discount. But he said, if I knew a man and he was a preacher and his attitude was right, and if it didn't have me, because what his problem was, understand that some preachers have this gimme, gimme, gimme attitude. Just because you're a preacher, gimme this and gimme that. He said, but if I knew that preacher and knew what he was like and what his reputation was, he said, he got a discount. You multiply that any way you want to go. That can work on your job. There are some people that I believe with all my heart that if companies had any sense and they had good workers, they ought to break their neck to take care of those workers. But for some reason, it doesn't matter whether they're a good worker or a sorry worker. For some reason, people get the shaft one way or the other and get mistreated. I don't understand that. If you give your 100% to your employer and you do the best you can, you ought to be recompensed for that. I know people who are laid off from their jobs or fired from their jobs, and when other people find out about it, you know what they say? They say, how'd that happen? Why'd they get rid of her? Why'd they get rid of him? They're hardworking people. What were those people thinking? You know why? Because somebody spent their life with a good reputation. You know what reputation is? Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Here's a man who spent his life and closed out his life with what? A good reputation. Now let me close. Think about those things. You're a week older than you were last Sunday morning. Isn't it hard to believe that next Sunday's homecoming? Do you remember last homecoming? We had a good homecoming. Had good food, good fellowship, good blessing. That was a year ago. Huh? Time is marching on. We are not promised tomorrow. No man knows what the next day will bring. James said that our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You ever taken a kettle and put water in it, and the water begins to boil and the steam comes out, and eventually, guess what? That steam comes out with a great gust, but as it approaches the ceiling, it disappears. That's life. What will you leave when you leave this life? Well, I don't have any money to leave. I didn't ask you that. Well, I don't have this to leave or that to leave. I don't have a home to leave someone. My cars are a piece of junk. I don't have any cars to leave anyone. I don't have much as far as substance of this world to leave anybody. Didn't ask you that. Do you, when they come by your coffin, will you be a man or woman who has been blessed in your lifetime? Are you a man or a woman that when they walk by your coffin, they will look at you and say that you have a good name? And when they walk by your coffin, will they say that that's a man or a woman that has a good reputation and has done so in this community for years? That's what happened in this old man's life. And he had every one of them. How about us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and help us to see that as we approach the end of this journey of life, that, Lord, there's some things we need to leave behind, not just a will in New Testament, but also, Father, a testimony. A testimony that we can say that through our lives, God has blessed us. Does that mean we've gotten wealth and riches and drive sports car and live in mansions? No. We've been blessed by the Lord to have our needs met and food on the table and being able to go to church and worship God and read the Bible and have a good measure of health. And Lord, you're good to us. And we magnify you and bless your name for that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to have a good name. Help us, Lord, that when people walk by our coffin, they'll be able to say, "That's a good man. That's a good woman." Then help us, Lord, to have a good reputation that people can look back on our lives and say they've tried to do what's right. What a godly person that is. Thank you from the life of Abraham that we can learn these things. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number.
Number 394, I Surrender All.
Spirit of the Lord moving in our hearts. The Lord bless us and help us to do His will. All right, let's go ahead and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. I think I've made about all the announcements that I need to make, I think. Again, homecoming 11 o'clock next week. Sister Penny Andrews will be singing, and I'm not sure how Miss Teresa and Brother Buddy will fix the choir and all that stuff, but he'll let us know. They'll let us know of that. And, of course, the revival meeting, please keep that in mind, please. Tonight we'll be back here at 5 o'clock, still preaching on the book of Acts. Theme of the book of Acts and the theme of our revival meeting, Pentecost is Plentecost. And so we're praying that God will give us not just a meeting, but a touch of the Lord, a breath of God to move in our presence. And I think if we get right with the Lord, then I think first thing you see revival, then you see souls getting saved. Because when you get right with the Lord, that's where you go. You start talking to people about the Lord. So let's pray about those things. Pew packing every night, don't forget that. Wednesday night, whoever brings the most people will have either choice of one of these. I've got two missionary books, and then I've got this CD on the God's Desert Rose. So you'll get to choose what you want each night that you bring visitors. And I'm going to make it just a tad bit hard, not really hard, but I'm going to require at least three visitors, okay, to get it. So let's work and invite. See if we can get at least three visitors to come each night. If you get more than that, praise God. Amen. But keep those in mind. I want to read something to you. This is a blessing. Okay? I appreciate the fact of those that are involved, Brother Julius and Brother Bill and anybody else that's had part in our radio ministry. And I know this has been largely a burden on Brother Julius's heart. He loves the work of radio and that type of thing. And if you've never heard the radio ministry on the internet, you ought to go on. It's very first class. And it's a good job. But you might say, well, it's not as effective as having, you know, a radio station. And maybe that's true. But I do want you to let me read something that came in the mail. It said, "Your music is my constant companion when I am on the internet. I love the good old Southern gospel music." And this is from a gentleman named Walt Versteeg from Plymouth, Minnesota. And it says, "May God bless you and your ministry." And he sent a check to the radio ministry for $100. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Somebody got blessed, didn't they? Huh? Isn't that great? So that $100 will go into whatever the radio ministry needs to get. And so I just wanted to share that blessing with you. I think that's awesome. What did the Bible say? That we cast our seed, and when we cast our seed, it never goes forth and goes barren. There's always fruit that comes when we bear our seed. So the airwaves proclaimed it, and thank God for that. Okay? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, now since I know Brother Buddy's back, do y'all want to do choir practice there? Just wait till after homecoming to start? Okay. All right. Brother Julius, pray for us. Set, we'll be sure and let you know. Those of you that are computer savvy, we'll let you know about the prayer list that we'll be getting on there. We'll be accessible only to the folks of our church. It'll not be public domain or anything like that. And if you'd like to use that for your prayer time and devotions and things like that, that'll be great, okay? Any announcements before we go? Is that everything for homecoming and revival that we need to bring up? Anybody think of anything else? I'm sorry? Redoing last night? All right, we will see you this evening. Those of you who can, 5 o'clock tonight. Have a good day.
Chica had the word.